Our second scripture lesson is from the second book of Samuel, story of David. Towards the beginning of harvest, three of the 30 chiefs went down to join David at the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped at the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then at Bethlehem. David said longingly, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." Then the three warriors broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and brought it to David. But he would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord, for he said, "The Lord forbid that I should do this. Can I drink the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. The three warriors did these things. This is the word of the Lord. The story in our Old Testament lesson is about David. He's holed up in a cave near his hometown of Bethlehem. David is fighting the Philistines who occupy Bethlehem. And just in a conversation, he remembers the well by the gate in Bethlehem, the well from which he probably drank as a boy after playing games all day, the well from which he was refreshed after a long night of watching the sheep. He begins to think out loud how wonderful it would be to have a drink of that water. Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from that well. It was all he said. But that was enough. He didn't even notice when, in the stillness of the night, three of his most valued soldiers slipped out of the cave. They gathered their weapons and they were gone. On their way through enemy lines, sneaking past the Philistine sentries, on their way to that well in Bethlehem. David had said he would love to have some water from the well at that gate, and whatever their beloved king wanted, they would get it for him. And when they returned with the water, it had to be a moment of great emotion for David, for he instantly realized their gift. At the risk of their lives was a gift worthy only of God, not for a mere man like himself. He says, "Far be it from me that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives?" So he pours the water out on the ground as an offering to God. On this Memorial Day in our nation, we have to, in the context of this Old Testament story, think about our heroes. Where are they? Where do we find them? Our first thought might pull up pictures of Guadalcanal or D-Day or Porkchop Hill in Korea or the Tet Offensive in Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan. All those wars and all those soldiers who died. And some of you have places in your heart for a special someone who died in the line of duty, or, as Patty said, as a result later from wounds of war. Alden Solovey, in his poem Remember My Heart, writes on their behalf. "When you see a flower bloom," he writes, "between the cracks in stone, remember me. Remember my heart and my hands, the hands of sons and daughters, of dreamers and doers, soldiers by necessity, civilians targeted for terror, old hands, young hands, children's hands, hands that yearned for life. When you see a flower bloom between the cracks in the stone, remember what cannot be stolen, our love, our hope, our history, our home. When you see a flower bloom between the cracks in stone, remember me. Remember that beauty survives, that our love is strong, that our sacrifices are holy, that our cause is just, that our people will endure. May the Holy One shelter your heart in the wings of comfort and bring peace at last. Peace at last. The Prince of Peace himself said it. To lay down one's life for another is the greatest sacrifice of love. Just this past Friday, three men in Portland, Oregon, sought to protect two young women being threatened with anti-Muslim rants by Jeremy Christian, a white supremacist. One of them, Talisa Mesh, his aunt said they were on the phone and she told him, take pictures so you can send to the police. He, along with Rick Best and Micah Fletcher, though, stepped in. And Talisa Mesh and Rick Best. Talisa recently graduated from college. Rick Best, husband and father of four, were killed. Micah Fletcher, the other, was injured, is expected to survive. They looked beyond their own needs that night and did whatever was needed to protect those two around them. Those we remember as heroes are different in so many ways, but heroes have two things in common: compassion and courage. Sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? His heart was also filled with compassion and courage, which enabled him to be brave in the face of great danger. Jesus didn't deserve to die either. He had done nothing wrong. To the contrary, he had done a lot of things right. He spent his life, especially those years in public ministry, trying to protect the most vulnerable around him from those who exploited them and made their lives difficult. He exposed the hypocrisy of selfish and corrupt leaders, spoke truth to power, and challenged all leaders, religious and secular, to use their influence to make life better for everyone, not just a chosen few. When necessary, he didn't mince words, and he was certainly not timid. He called the Pharisees a brood of vipers and overturned the tables of the money changers. When he entered the temple during Passover, his pursuit of justice and peace brought him everything but peace. In the end, it cost him his life. Listen again to Paul's words. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did you pick up on what was really unusual about Christ's death? Jesus died to save those who were enemies of God, the ungodly, sinners. The way Paul puts it, and I think we know it, someone might be willing to give up his life for a noble cause, but to die on behalf of an evil person, inconceivable. But here it is, the gospel of Jesus Christ, this man dying on behalf of sinners, and it was such a sacrifice that here we are still singing about it, praying about it, talking about it. But why did Jesus do it? Why didn't he leave Jerusalem that fateful week when he realized his life was in danger? Why didn't he run into the night when the soldiers came for him in the Garden of Gethsemane? He didn't run for the same reason those three men did not abandon those two who were being assaulted. His heart was filled with compassion and courage, which always brings out the best in a person. Paul answers our question saying, God demonstrates his love for us in this, for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died in order to save the very people who were crucifying him. God gave his only son to die, not because God didn't love him, but because God loves us so much. The greatest sacrifice, an innocent man died to save the whole world, friend and foe alike. Which brings us back to this weekend, the heroic dimension of so many people. As I've seen in so many places as a pastor, it takes courage, compassion to face the challenges of life. It takes compassion and courage to live and cope right where you are with all that life brings in on you. Courage to get married and stay married. Courage to be a single parent. Compassion. Courage to face up to the bullies in school and say no to friends when you know what they're doing is not right. I think of those who are willing to speak up for those who have no voice. The poor, the children, the hungry, those who are sick, diseased. Those are vulnerable and have so little when so many have more than enough. Emily Sargent wrote, "Courage is quietness, not martial music made, born of facing up to life, even when afraid." In other words, heroes don't always make the headlines or get interviewed on TV or have streets named after them. Anyone in that cave with David could have gone out that night. Everyone had the opportunity to find a way past those enemy lines to get water for the king, but only three did. You may be standing on holy ground in the presence of unknown, unseen heroes, and you don't even know it. You may be standing by a hero in the checkout line at the grocery store, working two, three jobs to put food on the table and still needing a little bit of help. You may be standing by a hero in the elevator at the hospital, someone giving hope and comfort to a grieving person. These people are never in the news, but these are the people who keep the commitment of godliness and bring the water of refreshing life. Hero may be sitting next to you in the classroom, or in the cubicle down the hall, or in the car next to you stopped at the red light. There they are, unknown, unnamed heroes, resisting the promiscuous climate of the day, standing courageously against the tempting lifestyles around us, trying to do the right thing. Maybe you haven't heard of Chris Parker or Stephen Jones. Both are homeless. Parker was panhandling outside the Manchester Arena when the bomb exploded. Jones had found a place to sleep nearby. The force of the blast knocked Chris Parker to the floor and woke Stephen Jones, and rather than running for safety, they ran toward the blast, went to the aid of the victims. Mr. Parker told about comforting a girl who'd been seriously injured, wrapping in her T-shirt and cradling a dying woman in his arms. Mr. Jones said he did what he could to help those children who had been hurt. "Just because I'm homeless doesn't mean I haven't got a heart or I'm not human still," he told ITV News. "I'd like to think someone would come and help me if I needed the help," he said. Jones said he did what anyone else would have done. You would like to think that, wouldn't you? Mariah Carey, several years ago, had a hit song with the one-word title, "Heroes." She wrote the song, "Lord knows dreams are hard to follow, but don't let anyone tear them away. There will be tomorrow and time you'll find the way. And then a hero comes along with the strength to carry on, and you cast your fears aside and you know you can survive. So when you feel like hope is gone, look inside you and be strong. And you'll finally see the truth that a hero lies in you." When compassion and courage combine, they are powerful. Compassion without courage can be intimidated and silenced. Courage without compassion can be self-absorbed and violent. Together, however, they turn people from all walks of life into heroes. On this Memorial Day Sunday, as you remember heroes past and present, think about where our heroes are and consider the hero inside of you. For the people of Jesus Christ have a chance to witness to the heroic dimension of life, because we know where the water of life is and we know who needs it. So let us be willing to get up and go get it, to sacrifice as the sacrifices have been made for us. To God be the glory.